possible.
Good.
All right, Roger.
You talked big.
It's the order today.
Oh, I'm out of here.
Here.
You're over at that table.
So his table?
Would be the first time he'd ever.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Oh, weird. Just have him come back and be seen. You don't know your name?
I know, I'm at some.
Okay. No, you don't know, see?
You were just right, Tom, on the back.
Literally just sitting there, just watching him, just listening. You know, he's over here troweling. He's like this passive aggressive.
Hilarious.
There he is.
How are you?
I'm well, how are you?
I'm somewhat stunned that we're approaching July. We're the unprepared. Oh my god. They marshaled by the years.
Plumbing, the electrical.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
So like the.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
It's killing. I think my kid is to college.
I was gonna say, where'd you?
7 weeks.
Winter stuff, I don't know what it is.
She's going to New York.
Excavator.
What?
You're trying to talk and stay local, but that was before she knew she was accepted.
Yeah, that's true.
And I lost all control over time.
Keep her at DU.
All the pipes are stowed down.
Anyways, yeah.
So when I say plumbing, it's like.
She's actually in there. She will, but she's in there media.
Already ran power from the pole to the building and stuff.
That's the world.
Do you have to have some amount?
You know, we don't know anybody, really, but one of her best friends is Lana Barnard.
Well, because you have kind of like.
You know, 25 minutes in the subway, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the lifelong friends of the neighborhood.
I've permitted my
I'm comforted by that. They don't need as much trouble usually together. I understand much. I've never had all this. Honestly, yeah. It's my brother. I have to go there. So
for that, you have a reason to do it?
Yeah.
My wife grew up, you know, 3 hours away. She's in Pennsylvania, but the drive only 3 hours away.
I know. It's saying how close it is back to the
place. Yeah, I mean, they're like, countryside stuff, and then all of a sudden you're a big city.
Yeah, I'm looking forward
just,
to
like,
it.
Yeah. We're
almost prepared.
So it was like,
I've only spent day trips there.
Oh, yeah. We spent time in the city and hotel stuff. They're great. Sadly.
Well, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty cool.
It literally has an arrow saying.
My son's very excited about being only child in 4 years. He doesn't think that's going to go well for him. He may not. He's not quite as focused as my daughter was. Warm up, didn't it? One more cold day, the equipment will take. That's right.
I think we're all here. We're going to get the meeting started. Heather, can you start with the roll call?
Yes. Todd Williams?
Here.
Allison Gould?
Here.
Tom Dester?
Here.
Scott Holwick?
Here.
Roger Lang?
Here.
Ken Houston?
Here.
Nelson Tipton?
Here.
Wes Lowry?
Here.
Kevin Bowden?
Here.
Hope Bartlett?
Here.
Jason Elkins?
Here.
And Heather McIntyre is here. Councilmember Martin is not able to join.
Thank you. The next item is approval of the April 18, 2022 Water Board meeting minutes. Is there any questions or comments on those? If not, we need a motion for approval. We have a motion. Is there a second? Okay. Allison's a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Item 4 is the water status report.
Got go ahead. Wes will add to it, maybe more to it. But, the flow of the St. Vrain Creek at Lyons today is 300 CFS. 125-year historic average is 466 CFS. So the peak flow at Lyons during the runoff this year occurred on June 13th, and the flow rate was 976 CFS. The 125-year historic peak is approximately 575 CFS. And right now, the last couple weeks, been dropping pretty quickly. Calling St. Grand Creek is Highland Ditch. Addendum number 8004, with a priority date of November 30th, 1871. Calling the main stem of the South Platte impact on District 5, Springdale Ditch. Addendum number 13,349, priority date July 19th, 1886. So Ralph Price Reservoir is approximately 900 acre feet from full, so it's getting pretty close. It's anticipated probably the first or second week of July be full. So. And current release 175 CFS. So Union Reservoir is full and releasing 7 CFS. Local reservoir storage is approximately 86%, and CBT system is approximately 93%.
Great.
Any questions?
Are there any questions?
When does
rock
price usually fill?
When does it usually fill?
Yeah.
About the first, second week of July.
Okay, so we're kind of.
We're right on average, yeah. Right on average. We're cruising right along, so we should be able to get some, exchange some transfer fees under there to finish off that plan.
Only other thing that I noticed in the CBT storage, did they pump us at 40,000? Acre feet of windy gap.
40,000, yes.
So keep in mind in that number, there's also windy gap is able to pump a lot of storage, which is great as well. So.
Yeah, the good thing is it pumped our order fully this year and enough for an order next year, 2 years of supply.
That's good.
And the good news is there was actually space for the windy gap water. So
that's how does that accounting work? Do they? Then next year, would they count? Would they pump for the next year if they were able to, or like so? Does it just keep rolling in that way?
Yeah, the most of the municipal sub-district water providers have basically given the direction to run it to keep pump up to 2 years of orders. Right now, we're running around 20,000 acre feet a year of windy gap orders. So we try to get in about 40 to 45,000. You got to pump 45,000 to get 40 because there's an introduction shrink and then there's some water over to the west slope from agreements. That gives us 2 years supply. You have to be a little careful because you're looking 2 years out. And this year, the CBD system is really getting reasonably full. And it's not projected to spill this year. But you're pumping, and if it were to spill next year, it wouldn't spill till June or maybe July. So we'll be able to utilize a big portion of that of next year's order in the winter time period. That's when we use our water. So we basically have this year's order already done, and then the water we'll use next winter when you get water is in storage right now. So that's good.
Any other questions or comments? Great. Thank you, Nelson.
Thanks.
Next item is item five. It's public and let it be heard in special presentations. Are there any other members? Nope. Item six, agenda revisions and submission of documents.
I have
them. Item seven, development activity. Doesn't look like there's anything on that. Item 8, general business. 8A is cash and lieu review. Wes?
Yeah, so just have a brief memo in your packet. I'll hit the highlights of that. On March 8th, City Council approved Resolution R-2022-35, establishing the fee for cash and lieu. Water rights received the current $48,500 per acre foot. So I'm on page 21. So council recommended that the Windy Gap project be used as a principal project that would represent that cash in lieu. So to further break that down, 30,000 acre feet, $30,000 per acre foot for the original Windy Gap Diversion and Pumping Project, and then $18,500 per acre foot for the city's current investment in the Windy Gap Firming Project. The Colorado River Connectivity Channel Project may see some additional cost increases due to fuel costs, but that information won't really be known until probably the next quarter review. So at that, with that being said, there's no additional information to suggest that the project is would warrant a change in cash flow at this time.
Any questions or comments for Wes? Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, Wes, I was just curious. We talked last time, 2 times ago, but I was just curious what the reaction has been in the community relative to the relatively steep increase in the cash flow.
That's a good question. So a lot of people that were in actively engaged in the development review process, we made a fairly extraordinary effort to let all those people know. And although they would have liked it to stay lower, they were prepared and they satisfied their deficits prior to the change. The people that have been coming in since then, they've also heard that it was changing. They weren't yet ready to make that change, but they've been preparing accordingly. So some people have been acquiring their own non-historic water rights to transfer, and others are just waiting to see when their project is closer towards the end of their ready to move dirt. So haven't heard anybody that was like shocked that we weren't, it wasn't unexpected, but that doesn't mean that they, again,
sure,
not get to stay lower.
You know, if it had a dampening effect on economic activity, but frankly, it'd be hard to discern that between that and interest prices and interest rates and supply chain prices. So,
right.
I was just wondering what you heard on the street.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Anything further? Go ahead.
Yeah, I do. I have a couple questions. So, the $18,500, that was a number that we've seen that kind of broken down in the past, because that's the number that was kind of consistently used over many years or many quarters at least. The 30,000 per acre foot, so that was something that we discussed kind of a couple times ago, I guess. Do we have like kind of like the calculus on that? Like, so in other words, is there a spreadsheet somewhere where that number was like derived at, or is that, I know that in a couple of the paragraphs here, it describes the pieces that went into the calculus. So, but is there like a line item where the values essentially that get summed up that arrive at this 30,000 that those things exist?
I'll let you.
Okay. So we have the numbers of where all those components when we built in the 1985. But in 1985 dollars, that was like $6,500 an acre foot. So that's much less than this. The 30,000 came about, the Platte River Power Authority had 160 units of the project. They only want a little over 100 units. So they, over the years, they've been selling. In the last year or two, they sold a number of units on the, you know, on the fair market value, based upon bids. And so the high bids were in the $28,000 to $29,000 range. So they just recently, and I don't know, Todd, if you've heard, I don't think they've closed yet. They just recently put 10 more units on the market. Their minimum was 30,000. So the minimum bid is 30,000. Yeah. We will know by the September cash in lieu what the actual bid amount, sealed bid for those units are. And we'll bring that information as soon as we have that. But you can't, you really can't get a better price than sealed bids on the open market, fair market. It's not really quite open market because you have to be in the municipal sub-district.
Yeah.
So you have a little bit more of a limited audience to sell it to, but on the other hand, there are enough people in the Northern Colorado area that either are in the municipal sub-district or could petition into the municipal sub-district. It's everybody from, you know, about, well, kind of left-hand Lisa Lafayette, clear to Fort Collins, you know, this, and all the rural domestics. All of them. I don't know, it wouldn't be easy for the rural domestics because you gotta get everybody in the sub-district, but there are enough people that get in the sub-district. So it's basically the fair market value of that.
So that, I guess that was gonna be my comment, was that with you, so if we're looking at page 21, so there's a first paragraph where it just kind of introduces some things, second paragraph a little bit, describes some stuff. The third paragraph is like a list of essentially the factors that go into this, to this value, right? It's like water rights and infrastructure, et cetera, right? And it makes it seem like it's like an inflation-adjusted cost to do those things, to go out and get the water rights and to go out and build the infrastructure and et cetera, right? So it's almost like that $6,500 an acre inflation adjusted to today, right? Plus maybe some differences in cost or something associated with what cement prices or something. And I guess it could be a little clearer, I suppose, that it's actually a market value, right? It's like, it's based on like real, what, competition for this particular resource or something, rather than actually kind of a spreadsheet that actually puts a cost on every single one of the things in that third paragraph. Yeah. And I think it kind of leads into the fourth paragraph. Right.
Good. Yeah, so it's multi, but it's,
okay. I'll make that clear.
Did you have anything? Was that all?
Yeah, okay. Awesome.
Any further questions? Go ahead, Elsa.
Sort of tangentially related to this, but where does it stand as far as the connectivity channel? NEPA's done.
So NEPA was done and received a finding of no significant impact. My presumption is nobody will file against that, like they did the fair, Jimmy Hall Reservoir, because I don't know if it doesn't want it. So the contract is moving forward. Unfortunately, the contractor that's doing the work didn't get fuel. Because they didn't know how long it took the process. They didn't get a fuel contract. So probably just kind of a forewarning in September, We'll hear there will be a fuel surcharge, most likely. We feel it'll be around the $1 million range. But other than that, I'm not seeing any real stumbling blocks in moving that project forward.
I can maybe add a little to that. So there was a limited notice to proceed that was awarded at the last board meeting, and it was limited because we're waiting. The NRCS is one of the big funders, and they needed to just get some final approvals before they could fully fund their portion of it. The concern was, is if you didn't get going on the limited notice to proceed and start the work, you'd miss a whole season of work. So there is a little bit of, you know, kind of work prior to the NRCS approvals being done, but, so there will be work going in terms of some of the prep work and to facilitate getting kind of the full scope of work in government. So that was the way it was from the last Northern Municipal Subdistrict
meeting. To build this, do they have to shut down the NECAPS operations?
No. My understanding is they will not have to shut it down. And then, and can you correct me if I'm wrong, well, I mean, part of it may be timing too, I think, as the river draws, you know, the pumping season is going to be over and then they can do quite a bit of work there. And then I think they have their timing such that they'll continue to be able to that was kind of one of the conditions on being able to move forward as they are. So I don't think there's any, I haven't heard anything that will impact the company project.
So the good thing about doing the limited start, it was because Windy Gap pumped pretty good, 40,000 acres, 45,000 acres this year. But it shut off about a week or two ago, week and a half ago, because it pumped enough. We actually could have kept pumping this year, but it shut off. And so now what had to happen was drain the reservoir. But you can still pump even in the reservoir if you got enough guts. I applaud those operators. If they're gonna try to, you know, they're gonna pump. But right now there's no pumping going on, and there won't be any pumping until clear right next spring. So it's really important to be out there this summer, get that work done. Because they did have to drop, they will have to drop the reservoir. Because the first thing you do is you take the dam on the south side and, you know, rip it up, put a brand new rebuilt dam on the inside so you have an area to put the connectivity check. It's my understanding they will not be able to fill the reservoir. That won't be done, finished enough to fill the reservoir next year, but we'll be able to put some water, enough water into it, probably, I'm pretty sure, to be able to pump. It's gonna be real critical next spring. That's the critical period. But y'all have already started. It's going this summer.
So is the goal to like do excavation this year and then hit it hard in May?
Well, yeah, I don't recall exactly the full scope of this year's, but yeah, I think they wanted to get some of the initial clear and grub work done, kind of the prep work in advance. That once that RCS funds come in, it's off to the races. So, yeah, I think they're going to get, as Ken was alluding to, try to get enough done this year so that by next spring they're able to run the water and at least pump whatever their, you know, priority. But I mean, the good news is since they pumped in, you know, essentially 2 years order this year, it'll also be supported.
It's looking good, I'll put it that way. Project, you're always optimistic at the start of a project. But no. And once that's done, I mean, once that foundation for the relocated dam is done, you're committed. I mean, so I think I would put it in the category of committed to get it done this summer. I'm, you know, working on it, not this summer. So we hope it goes well.
Anything else? Item 9, which is items from staff. The first item, 9A, is when you get a firming project update. Yeah,
yeah, just a real quick update. Sorry, a quick update on the project. I've got a picture. I don't know if everybody's, you know, these pictures are updated once a week on the Windy Gap firming project to me all website. But this, I thought, was a pretty good picture. Really, you're looking down the center line of the dam. You can see the pipes going down there. That is now, a good portion of that is constructed. The last I heard, it was 70% done, and then probably a little bit more by now. The critical part of that was, once you get that done, then to do some final grouting, and they then have the foundation ready for the construction of the dam. You can really, really, really start to see the footprint of the dam now here. And then the quarries over here. This is, they're staging the hydraulic asphalt plant up here, just above my water line. That was a kind of a unique project. It was a lot of the, some of the construction of that pad was paid for by Larimer County, because that's going to be the parking area for the recreation area of Larimer County once the dam is done and up. So you kind of see that. And then you can see right over here, the bridge over the penstock for the CBT system is already done. So this will be the road will come in once the dam is done. And of course, it goes on. You can see it going on around here. It goes clear to the backside of the reservoir. That gives you, you can see a little bit more of the road. You can see the quarry. This will all be underwater. The quarry's over here. I think you can see in this picture the cofferdam right over here. So far going well. They've just started actually a double crew sequence where they have two crews per day, two full crews per day. We got a lot of people up there. A lot of work going on. It's really going well. We had talked about in the past about trying to get a tour set up. Unfortunately, everybody else wants a tour too. and I had hoped to set one up for the July water board meeting, so we could go up right before the meeting and not make everybody come more than one day. It's actually booked like clear into August. So I have three different options I wanted to talk with the board about. The first is, if you don't mind coming or taking 2 days in a month, the Monday before our next water board meeting on July 11th is open, and we can set up a tour and just do a tour that day. From July 18th to July 29th, every single day is booked up. The second option is on our water board meeting date in August 15th. The afternoon's already booked up, but the morning is available. So we could do a tour of the reservoir site first. And we wanted to do a quick tour of the conservation gardens up there, talk a little bit about water conservation and have lunch on their plaza there. So what we do is, it'd be a little bit earlier, it'd be a morning tour, lunch there, and then we'd come back here for the water board meeting. That way you'd only have to have one day. Then the third option is your water board meeting on September 19th. That whole day's open, so we could schedule one more mid part of the day to where it wouldn't take the whole day then be back here for the water board meeting. So, wanted really to talk to the board and see what your preferences are. I appreciate how much work you put in, volunteering to come once a month, every month. So that's why I didn't want to set one up off days. Generally, once you get through about mid-August, you could also do any other day as well. There's two options when we do it. They call it the Overlook Tour. There's where that picture was taken, that's overlooking the valley. That tour from Northern's office up, it's really the best single spot to stand. You can see the entire valley and the entire project. That's about a 2-hour tour from Northern's office out there to look, see the project, put the presentation there, and then back. Or they also have the valley tour, where you're actually going down in, driving into the construction site. We like that, but that's about a 3-hour tour, so it takes about an hour longer to get, because I think they go to the Overside and then they go down to the valley and take you through it. So it's a little bit longer, but you get a little closer view of everything. So kind of some different options there. I wanted to see what the board, what your preference are, if you have any preferences.
Are you saying August and or September would probably be the best or best choices?
August sounds like
July's kind of jammed up now.
July is pretty jammed up if you want it on the same day as water board. You don't have to come in twice. There is, July 11th is available. It's a Monday, July 11th. It's right after the 4th of July, probably why.
Monday after the 4th of July week. But yeah, August and September are a lot more available.
So I guess the question would be, do you guys want to, if you want to do it the same day as water board, A, and then B, do the 2 or the 3 hour tour, and then I don't know if there's feedback for Ken, because if you wait, my guess is pretty soon you'd be talking October or November.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to, is there any feedback for the, you guys on what you want to, what sounds the best to you?
I mean, I'll speak up, I guess. Once the school year starts, of course, I have Monday afternoons for this meeting, but I generally don't have Monday mornings, so that September for me would be a little difficult. However, the August sneaks in right before the school year starts for me, but I don't know, you have children going off.
Well, I think August 15th is preferred for me. I can't do the July day anyhow, so.
Okay. Cool. And you guys want to do is that availability for the 3 hour or the 2 hour?
Either one would be available, but it would require doing it in the morning, so it would take most of the day. But the 3 hour shows more.
The 15th would also work for me. I prefer to do the longer one where you can actually see, especially if at that time for sure.
Hydraulic asphalt. I don't know if they'll be laying it then, but they might. Yeah. I'll find that out too. They should be getting close.
Yeah, I prefer the longer one.
Okay.
We're all the way up there in the last ball.
Yeah.
I get the full tour.
When you get an order of magnitude of the equipment they come, which is
yeah.
When you're up top, it kind of all look like ants, but when you're down there and you see the old drugs and some of the holes, I think it's cool. You can put all the pieces in place.
Okay. Well, I will set us up for August 15th. We'll do a morning tour, end up back at Northern, and then we'll have lunch and tour the conservation gardens, and then we'll come back to 3 o'clock board meeting. So I appreciate letting me do that. And we can meet here because we have some 15 passenger buses. Look, yeah, he might tell me.
Sure,
you can just reserve one of those real easy.
They're the common deer, maybe. But
yeah, well, they park them out here, so if I get in early in the morning,
you get the keys.
I'll get the keys.
Anything further on that?
That's all I've got. Thank you very much. That helps a lot.
Okay, so 9B is the Water Resource Engineering Project update, Jason.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to give you a quick update on our South St. Vrain pipeline pump station project. That one's kind of been hit with some delays and stuff from trying to procure materials and everything. Having said that, we're starting to get some materials in. We're not quite ready to make a connection into the north line yet. We're still missing a couple key pieces. But they are starting to come in. The pump station should be ready to ship July 11th, which it's a few months behind schedule, but again, overall, it's not really delaying the project, because even if we would have had the pump station on time, it just would have been sitting in the pit without any connections to it. So overall, things have kind of worked out in our favor with some of these delays. And so anyway, I'll be flying out July 8th to go do one final inspection before it ships. And then it should be here on the 14th or 15th, and we'll instantly take it off the truck and place it down onto the concrete. So we only have the crane tied up for one day. And so we're still expected to bring the pump station online sometime in September. It could be early October. Just kind of depends on when we can shut down the north line. So we'll have to work with Ken and Wes and the plant operators and stuff and O&M, because when we shut down the north line for this project, we'd also like to go and make repairs up on the upper section and stuff, try to hit everything all at once. And we'll also have Button Rock outlet shut down in September for making those gate repairs. So it's a little bit of coordination and stuff going on, but we're looking at probably, you know, late September, early October to have that pump station online. But so far, minimal change orders and everything like that. So minus you know, some additional parts here and there, very, very little scope creep, and other than the delays and stuff, you know, from procuring materials and stuff, everything's been going great. No incidences. The town
actually is using our contractor as a role model for other contractors. Like, hey, this is how you should be doing it. This is what your site should look like. This is proper storage of materials and maintaining your site. So it's been going really good. So, but yeah, it's just finally we've got a ship date and an inspection date on the pump station, so we're excited. 90,000 pounds they weighed over the weekend. It's the largest pump station they've ever done. And they don't fully know how they're going to get it out of the door. But they're like, that's our problem. We'll figure it out. But they might end up having to take down.
Seems like you would have asked that question before you.
You should mention it.
Isn't that the thing that?
Yeah. They made it seem like this was like the perfect excuse for them to make some updates.
Yeah. Better airflow. So.
Great. Anything else?
That's really it.
Any questions? Great. Thanks, Jason.
Absolutely.
All right, so we're on to 9C, water conservation update.
Good afternoon, everybody. So we are planning a master plan update in the next coming years. And we wanted to start out with a little bit of plan history. So I'm gonna give a little presentation about the history of our efficiency master plan and in further meetings, we'll dive a little bit deeper. So I just wanted to start out with going over conservation versus efficiency. We often use them interchangeably, but they don't always mean the same thing. And so when we are talking about conservation, we're talking about a careful preservation and protection of something. And then efficiency is doing the most with less. And so when we think about conservation, it's an active behavior change. So xeriscaping, policy updates, actively changing a mindset. And efficiency, we often refer to as passive conservation. So those are just fixture updates, fixing leaks, installing drip lines, doing things that we have been doing, but doing them more efficiently. So going into the history of our plan, House Bill 91-1154 was passed in 1991, and it declared that, it's called the Colorado Water Conservation Act, and it created the Water Conservation Office and declared that it's state policy to enhance water use efficiency with the objective of providing water for all beneficial uses in Colorado. It also required that all local providers who supply more than 2,000 acre feet annually have to develop and adopt a water conservation plan and enact it by July 1996. So we did that and we created our 1996, and at the time we called it our conservation plan. And these are our guiding principles, basically prolonging the adequacy of our existing resources, being a demonstration of our commitment to responsible environmental and natural resource management, creating a public awareness campaign about the semi-arid climate that we live, and ensuring the efficient use of our water systems to ensure that we are meeting our population growth needs. These are the original conservation plan overarching efficiency goals, and we continue to use these in each of our plan updates. We don't have to read all of them, but just so you guys know, there are 9 guiding goals that we continue to embed in all of our plan updates. So in 2004, the Water Conservation Act kind of went through an update and led to the creation of a guiding document from the CWCD, which requires all of the cities to go and dive a little bit deeper. So this is how we developed our guiding principles of the water conservation program for our city. And basically it's requiring profiling of existing water supplies, water demands, historical demands, and most importantly, selecting water efficiency activities and programs for our city. And this led us to develop our overarching goal for our city's program, which is to reduce our raw water demand by approximately 10% by build out, which would be about 3,500 acre feet. build-out is assumed as 2048 or 125,000 population. Our current population is just under 100,000. In 2013, we underwent a program evaluation. So we hired a consultant agency to analyze the effectiveness of our water conservation programs. Basically, they recommended that we continue but do more and do bigger. So that's what we have continued to do, is just our expanding our rebate programs and developing a more robust water waste ordinance. Which leads us to our most recent update in 2017. We switched to a more programmatic and strategic goal layout for our plan. And so we developed these five overarching strategies: indoor and outdoor efficiency, metering and loss prevention, education and outreach, and ordinances and enforcement. We offer, before 2020, the city offered toilet rebates internally. And then we developed partnerships with Resource Central and Efficiency Works to do outdoor efficiency rebates. And then we continued our metering and water loss prevention through our AMR introduction of AMR. We're still doing that. And then continuing education and outreach and ordinance and enforcements. A little bit of what we've accomplished. So I mentioned our partnerships, and those are really our bread and butter of our water conservation program. Our partnership with Efficiency Works, we grew in 2020 so that the city doesn't offer direct rebates. We go through Efficiency Works now for all indoor water efficiency for residential, commercial, and multifamily. And then we also do outdoor water efficiency rebates for smart controllers or irrigation updates through them. Resource Central is our biggest partnership. We do irrigation audits, garden in a box, and a lot of training and workshops with them. And then this year was our first year participating in their turf replacement program, which was wildly successful. We set aside a small budget kind of as a test to see if people would be very interested, and we sold out very rapidly without even doing any advertising. So we were able to fund 10 projects this year with 35 applicants. So we know that it's going to be really successful in years to come. Basically, it's just a rebate program through Efficiency Works that the city sponsors so that they can get a discounted, their project to be discounted through Resource Central, where Resource Central will come and remove their turf at a discounted rate. And then if those folks have leftover money, it's almost like a scholarship, they have leftover money, they can get garden in a boxes or other types of rebates. We're continuing our outreach. We've done advertising. We do a lot of our advertising and outreach through our city newsletters and through the inserts that go in our utility bills. We've in the past participated in Children's Water Fair, and that has not taken place recently, but we're looking at hopefully bringing that back. Several conversion to raw water irrigation projects. I mentioned our automated meter reading project that is still underway, and we're growing that to begin notifying customers of potential leaks very soon, hopefully. And then we did a couple, Francie was amazing, and did a couple of turf replacement on a couple of city properties. And one of ours is our yard here. And so we replaced bluegrass with a native wheat blend. And then last but not least, we participated in the Growing Water Smart Workshop, which basically integrates water resources and planning and allows us to work together to develop guidelines to grow our city with water land nexus mindset. Yeah.
So I got to go on the garden tour among 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
3 weeks ago. And I went to the Lions one also. It's pretty cool. Boulder's sold out. We couldn't even get a ticket to go to Boulder. But it seemed like it was a good opportunity to have some city presence on that tour as a fundraiser for the symphony. So okay. I get that that's their own thing, they've done it forever and ever, but almost all the gardens that you went to had an emphasis on, you know, water reduction
Yeah.
And it seemed like a really good opportunity in the future potentially to reach out and do something with something that's a civic mind. And is that, frankly, it's popular. There are tons of people crawling through gardens in Longmont in the summertime looking at what other people do in their gardens. Mm-hmm. So just thought for what it's worth, opportunity maybe.
Yeah, that's great. 2023. We're revamping our native garden at the rec center, and we're working on one at Rogers Grove and at Sandstone Ranch. So hopefully soon we'll have like some more visibility. Yeah.
Quick question on the turf replacement. City's turf replacement versus, you know, the general public. Is it the same principle?
So
are there different?
Yeah.
My thought was, are we encouraging reducing turf in general?
Yes.
Is that
a little bit of both?
Or a replacement, or I don't.
Yeah, a little of both. So the projects that we did, we replaced bluegrass with a different type of turf grass. And so our yard here, you can't tell that it's not bluegrass, but it is. It cut our water and facilities bill in half. So we're using 50% less water here on our grass that you wouldn't even know. So I feel like for moving forward, the city projects, we're gonna gauge whether we'll do turf replacements or turf, like getting away from turf. Most of the residential projects are complete xeriscape. And so that's a big part of why we use Resource Central, so that they can get access to those xeric plants that Resource Central provides guides to through Gardening the Box. But most folks who are doing their own yards are definitely ripping out turf completely. There's a couple of HOAs that we've worked with that have done like wheatgrass blend replacements on turf that's not being used by like kiddos and stuff like that.
Sorry. You go ahead.
Okay. My question was going to be in regard to the HOA stuff, because it's not necessarily an individual's property, it's not city property, but driving around Longmont, you notice these huge margins full of bluegrass. Mm-hmm. That, yeah, I don't know, is that an HOA decision? And if so, is being present in those HOA meetings positive?
Yes. I try to attend as many HOA meetings as they'll let me come. We go to the Neighborhood Group Leaders Association, which is like registered HOAs, and then they can participate in city grants that the city will provide grants, and Northern Water as well, for them to upgrade. So we work closely with a lot of HOAs through our Neighborhood Group Leaders Association. Yeah, I think that's one of the things that Ken and I are really excited about moving forward, is the opportunity to do a ton of turf replacements and letting it be known that you don't have to not have grass, that you can cut your water in half or maybe even less. I was working with the folks at Northern Water, and they're like, there's more that we can cut back on here on our yard where it would still be a healthy yard, but like we're not outside playing kickball on it and stuff like that. Like it's just grass. So there is a big opportunity that we're really excited about. I hope that answered your question. It's like a non-answer.
I would love to learn more and get my HOA.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I've got a question on your growing water smart. So if you've been, you know, it's kind of, in my mind, it'd be the planning department working, you know, how do you have new land use code that maybe a little bit more attuned to water use? I mean, has that been working well? And I just look at like the strips, you'll have little strips of grass that is impossible to irrigate. And I mean, I'm just wondering, have you seen kind of, there have been code changes within Longmont or that sort of thing that have allowed kind of move away from that, so that we're not, you know, 10 years from now having the same conversation about we need to get rid of those areas or deal with them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So the city attended Growing Water Smart in 2020, and since then we've had a lot of staff turnover. So we've actually applied to attend this year's workshop again. Because of that, I think, and 2020 was also virtual, so this year we'll hopefully be in person and just kind of building those relationships. I think it really got the ball rolling, but I think there's a lot of room to grow in that area. And like I mentioned, we're really excited about arterial roadways, right-of-ways, like city-owned properties that we don't manage transitioning to Xeriscape. That's something that's really important to me. So I think there's definitely room to grow. And we know how it goes with staff turnover, and that, you know, somebody leaves and the ball gets dropped, and then we have no idea that the ball's been dropped until like 7 months later. So we're really hoping that we get accepted into the program again this year, and that we can get some folks who are plan to be at the city for a long time, so that we can get like a really solid base laid down, so that we can do those code upgrades and we can do our design standard upgrades, which is one of the things that we started working on in 2020. And there has not been any progress on that.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Any other questions, or can you keep going? You go ahead, Scott.
I was just adding, there's a tremendous hunger to tear out turf. And the challenge is that there's not a lot of funds for it. But if you look at the cost of watering turf that nobody wants versus the cost of taking it out and putting in Xeric, you know, products and so forth, there's got to be some balance. And I would think the city might want to be a little more leader in that. And I know that that small turf replacement project is very minimal in scope and scale, but that seems to be where the sweet spot is with reducing future water use, frankly.
Yeah.
There's a lot. We did a project in Old Town, and we did people come by every day to talk to us. It's crazy how many people are really enthusiastic about,
yes,
about that. But there's some barriers for sure. The costs are fairly extraordinary.
Right. So. And really, you guys are nailing on the head where we're planning to go. We really want this next update to be have more aggressive goals, have more accountability, and kind of holding ourselves as a city to a higher standard of, like, we need to get this grass removed, like, we need to be models, which has been embedded in our plan since 1996, and being a model for the rest of the city. And so that's going to be the direction that we hope to go.
In terms of aggressive goals, one model that I've heard about is a separate meter for indoor use versus outdoor use. And I don't know how feasible that is to retrofit, but certainly help with the model pushing people in the right direction.
Yeah, that is a big barrier that we face, especially when working on these AMR projects right now and figuring out who actually has a leak. And that is a huge barrier, is that these multifamily units or the commercial units have just a group meter or a master meter. So we have no idea how much really water is going on their grass or their outdoor areas.
And also to build upon that, you're able to distinguish between the two and you want to incentivize turf removal from a market-based perspective, double price. And make it economically sensible for people not to be using it.
The constant news cycle over drought situations in Colorado and all that. I think people, it's really in people's mind now.
Yeah.
There is more intentionality with regards to decreasing outdoor water use than I've ever seen in 25 years of living in Boulder County. It's pretty impressive. Now it's how do we make it more accessible for people that don't have the means to do that. Mm-hmm. Landscaping companies are making it.
Yeah.
Good for them. I'm not saying that they shouldn't, but those guys are 9 to 12 months out of the project, because there's that much demand. And that's for people looking fully funded. So if people
right.
can't, you know, they check it out on their own.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Thank you all. My last slide is just mentioning, if you guys can keep this on your back burner, if you drive somewhere and see something exciting, like, let us know. Because we're going to be coming back in the next couple of months asking for feedback, giving you our ideas and asking for feedback and reviews. So thank you for your comments today. That is exactly where we're planning to go. So.
Great. Well, thank you. Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much for your presentation.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
So. And I have these handouts. They're just little one-pagers of what our current plan is. That way you don't have to read the whole thing. Yes.
Okay, so we're on to item 10, which is items from the board. We have a list of the major projects and items tentatively scheduled for future board meetings. Any questions, comments on that list? I'm not seeing any. Okay. Item 11 is informational items and water board correspondence. I think all that was in the packet was the water board applications and the drought management plan and the 5-year lease with East Cherry Creek Valley Water District. Okay. Anything other comments on that? All right, so we're under 12 items going to be scheduled for future board meetings. So Cash Malou, that'll be revisited in September. And as Ken mentioned, you'll have, I guess, hopefully the new market value for Winnie Gap units. And then B is discuss the future water board agendas. Anything anybody wants discussed? Go ahead, Scott.
It's quite premature, but given the direction or the directive for the Western states to figure out how to reduce a whole bunch of water use relatively quickly, or let the federal government do it. Just I'm curious what the trickle down would be at the city level. I mean, obviously there's regional elements, there's state elements, and then there's, you go down the line. And I don't think we're ready to have that, but maybe that's a future board conversation, board topic that they can drill down into that one. There's more clarity as to what they come out of that.
Or
it's a pretty draconian.
It is?
Yeah.
Well, we'll bring some information about that.
I don't think there is much yet, but yeah. And then September, October, November, there should be conversations that are interesting.
Okay.
I have kind of an unrelated question. Water treatment plant in Lyons, is there a budget issue with moving forward with what we're planning to do, or what is, I mean, sounds like it's a cost overrun situation.
There is concern if we were to bid it out today, we would have a significant cost in excess of what was projected. We received an updated, most probable cost estimate from the engineering firm for the construction of the plant, well in excess of what had been looking at over the last 3 to 4 years. As a result, the city decided to not bid out the project right away. Wait and see what the construction climate looks like 3 to 6 months from now.
Is there any downside to pushing it out?
Cost to go up?
Materials.
But operationally, so, I mean, is that a big issue?
It's not a real big issue because we have the Wayne Giannis water treatment plant on standby. We haven't used it for 5 or 8 years.
Is it doable? It could be used if needed.
Oh yeah, it would take some effort to get it up and running, but it's a viable plant.
Yeah.
So we would get it up and running if needed. We've also done a couple interconnects with local water, other water providers, so emergency, we would have some excess capacity, but mostly we would have to crank up with the gas, which we hope not to.
Yeah,
but it's an option.
Yeah. Okay.
And we haven't seen the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. We really haven't had any increase in peak production. Yes.
How much more? I know I should know these numbers, but how much more capacity do we have at the existing plant? Like, we could ramp that up another 10, 15, 20% or something?
Yeah, we were. It was originally rated, it was built and rated at 30 MGD. That's about what we're maxing out right now. I can't remember the exact number. It was either 10 or 15 MGD. It was re-rated. Put some more lavender plates in this block chamber, a few other little things, and re-rated it and got it up, you know, around 40 or 45. So, not in there. So we do have some excess capacity there. And then the weight gas supply is 15 MGD. So we could have a pretty significant increase. So we have existing treatment capacity.
Any other questions, comments? All right. If that's it, I think we're done with the meeting. So I'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
Well,
that's a good record time.
Missed 21 minutes. Yeah. We're going to try to be.